Well, we're back from Cabo.
Back from Cabo San Lucas.
Remember how we had all those grand designs on doing a show down in Cabo, and you brought your recorder, and I brought my recorder, and
yep.
And yeah, we never got around to that because we got down there and you start having fun and then that's the last thing you think about. And then you and I had to tee off in the golf event at 7:30 both days, which severely cut down on the nighttime fun. At least I just had an end time in my mind all night whenever we started to have fun.
Yep.
It's like we got to cut this down here and go to bed. And then you're tired by the end of the day. You don't really want to do a podcast. And now here we are. But I'm still tired, and I don't want to do a podcast, and I'm here.
I'm still tired, too. Oh, my God. I am a beat-up man. I think something happened, though. I don't know whether I got, like, a flu. I just took a COVID test because I had to go shoot this thing for Fox, for the Upfronts. The Upfronts, for those of you who don't know, it's a place where all the shows congregate and the networks congregate, and they put on a good show for the advertisers so we can all go schmooze and sell advertising so we can keep going. Anyway, I woke up, made a coffee, just went to do like a little, fart action, and shit my pants. And
don't gloss over that.
What
I think you just said?
Yeah, I shit my pants. And it wasn't a huge one, but it was enough. And I ran to the bathroom. The kids were like, what? Oh my God. And I sit on the toilet, and it is, Willy Wonka would be jealous. And
did you sing Pure Imagination while it was?
Yes.
It is pure imagination.
And my kids are all huddled around me like, what? You did what, Dad? I'm like, you guys, I crapped my pants. It happened. I'm sorry. And then they wanted me to show the spot and, the whole thing. And I was like, So that was my morning, and I think I think I'm not feeling well.
Oh, my God.
It was Mexico or what, but I am out of it.
This is
But I'm going all over the place here, but touching on not recording down in Cabo, I am proud of myself for just bringing the microphones and the SD card, right? And I feel good about myself for schlepping them down there, because normally I'd forget or wouldn't do it, and so I feel satisfied.
There was like a 50% chance that you were going to show up, let alone the recorder. I mean, I thought there was 0% chance that the recorder was going to make it down. And if it did, you wouldn't have the SD card or something. Some attachment wouldn't be there and present and ready to be plugged in. So the fact that you did all that, maybe this is the new you. Maybe this is, it comes with you shitting in your pants, but I don't know that it's something that you need to fight off. I think you're becoming more responsible.
I think most people have crap their pants. Like not full on crap, but like there's been an accident.
Well, one of the members down there during the member guest actually did that after teeing off on hole number two while wearing shorts. And I heard, and I don't think this is exaggeration because it comes from an unbelievably reliable source, that while the initial explosion happened on hole number two, cleanup on aisle six happened at hole number four. So that means that for two holes, which is, the rest of that par five, a par three.
Yep.
And then that par four, which is
that you hate,
where you could theoretically clean yourself up, although there's foliage in different places. Ooh.
But there's a bathroom there. He waited for the comfort station.
Yeah, but he waited to play golf for two more holes instead of just getting in the cart, standing up, and driving to the comfort station / bathroom.
He's a dedicated player. He's not going to leave his wingman, But imagine in 85-degree weather having shit your pants and having to swing a golf club for two holes. That's not fun.
No. No, if that happened to you or vice versa, I feel like the other person in our twosome would say, go fix that.
Yeah.
I don't want to be around that. I don't care if we lose the next two holes, the next nine holes. Just go.
It was this at this tournament this year?
Yeah, it happened 5 days ago.
Wow, I didn't hear this story.
Yeah.
Well, we had a blast, I will say, not to brag to those listening, but it was really fun. Always fun to hang. Michelle and Aaron got on really well. The minute we walked in the door, though, the podcast was the topic of conversation. Remember? Like, literally, we walk in, get our bathing suits on, we get in the pool, and you then turn on the podcast.
The Kate one, where she was talking about basically saving our family structure.
Right, and of course I was needling Michelle saying, well, she did. I mean, she saved you guys. And she's like, no, she didn't, and this and this and that. And then, you know, we turn on the loudspeakers on the show.
Yeah, and it really was rather benign. And I think
it
even Michelle,
benign.
Had it been anything more than that, even a hint of overblownness, she would have gone on and on and on, but I don't even think Michelle could say much after that.
No, I know. But it's just, I'm only citing that as an example of how daddy issues follows us wherever we go.
Yeah, and we had, the day I was there, somebody stopped me down there and said, oh my God, I love your podcast. When's Oliver get here? Is he sweating yet? You know, everybody now knows everything about your trip through antidepressants, the fact that, you know, some kid said a nasty thing about your mom when you were playing Little League baseball or hockey, they
Isn't
know
that
too
funny?
Much.
It's pretty funny. I never thought about it that way, especially with those guys down there who do listen to the podcast, you know, who you see once a year. I am very open, and people who listen to it get a real detailed look into me. No doubt about that. That's funny.
Yeah, but you can see why, and I said this while we were playing, and I don't know how this came up. It didn't come up because we were talking about what you and I are talking about right now, but somebody like David Letterman, who lives on is growing his beard down to his feet and lives on a ranch somewhere, somebody like Johnny Carson, who even though he was in L.A., was notoriously secluded and shut off from the rest of normal society, you know, a Britney Spears who reached her height of stardom, they kind of lose it a little bit. And I understand that, because people, imagine if that was going on during the time of social media, how that would have driven, I think, some of these people even further into a hole or even out of the business altogether, because you're on TV every night opening up, you know, your sense of humor, something about yourself, what's going on in your life, and everybody feels like they know you. And so then there's really no barrier for anybody to come up and feel awkward about bringing up very personal stuff that you may talk about on TV, but it's different when there's a TV's not on, a camera's not on, and you're just talking to somebody. It's like, God, back off, out of my stuff. So they end up running the other way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, totally. I mean, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Just like you with your hyperstardom with all these shows you do, and I feel like you're about to go to sleep. Are you going to go to sleep?
No, I'm here. I'm right with you. I'm lying down. I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm resting. I'm doing a pod rest. But I still have good energy. My voice is still booming, you know, like Tony Romo's, and we're doing good.
Tony Romo. That's an interesting poll there.
Yeah. He talks like that.
They're going to. Yeah.
Yeah. He's gonna hike the ball, guaranteed.
Oh, he's like from Mississippi. Guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
That's how he used to imitate Tim McCarver who I broadcast with for 18 years and loved dearly. But he's from Memphis, and he would say things, and we'd make it a point. When he really wanted to hammer the point home, he would end the sentence twice. So he would say, I mean, he's a guy that knows how to throw a fastball. Real well. Real well. He's a guy with power for days. For days. For days.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So these are the little things that I notice that drive people nuts.
Well, we caught a little bit of the Johnny Depp Amber Heard, you know, situation, which is just amazing television, by the way. I mean, come on. It does not get better. It's so good.
I don't know what TV I'm watching that I've never come across it on a television, though. Have you actually seen it on TV?
Yeah, well, Fox News was the one of the only ones actually playing it for a minute. And then you could watch it online, and then you see tidbits of it. But Fox was actually, like, you know, they were live in the
which is so strange. I mean, I don't, why would they care? It's a superfluous thing. Isn't this a defamation thing between these two people?
You're saying why would Fox News specifically care?
Yeah, why is Fox News running that? Like, I see it on Instagram. That's where I see these little clips. Right. But I've never turned on a TV and sat around watching Johnny Depp right. and Amber Heard.
Well, I don't know if CNN or MSNBC started airing it. But I do know in the beginning it was only Fox that was airing it. And I have a theory. I think that because they're sort of anti-Hollywood for the most part. You know what I mean? It's Fox News. All Hollywood is liberal, and all liberals, you know, to them are complete morons. So I think that it was almost highlighting, in a sense, how ridiculous it all is.
Well, then that's genius programming.
Well, I know that's what I said that to Kurt. I'm like, I think it could be genius because they're covering it and they are mocking them and they are looking at these two Hollywood elites and sort of just without having to say anything, like, wow, let's just let them dig their own graves here, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. I hadn't even thought about it that way, but that is definitely on the board as a possibility.
I think so. But the whole thing is crazy that it's even televised, and watching Johnny Depp like do his performance up there is just classic stuff.
Yeah. How did he describe in court her defecating in his bed or whatever, wherever she did that? I guess.
Oh, did he? I didn't hear that.
It was and Margo can get the exact quote and put it in the little chat, but the basic word was grumpy.
Mm.
That Miss Heard or whatever, however he refers to her in the during the mm-hmm. court proceeding.
Yeah, Miss Heard
left a grumpy in my bed and then kind of smiled a little bit. Like it's theater of the absurd. I don't know how.
Wait a minute. He called a dump a grumpy.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah,
that's such.
And he fought back a smile, like he was like, he thought about it. This was not ad-libbed. This was a phrase, like, how can I, what would be funny and cute and get, go viral if I said, instead of what it was, if I made it like a, you know, childish,
yeah, like
stupid
cutesy
term.
So wait, but even just the content of the quote, he was saying that she basically took a dump in his bed.
Something like that happened. Yeah, I can't act as if I know all the details. But that was the part that I saw on Instagram. Him saying,
"I just love how he gets up and he's like, do you mind if I get up and like play it out? I play it out, you know." And then like the judge or whatever was like, "Okay," and he like gets up and he's like, "And then like my mother was walking, but she was so frail, like," and then it's like, and he's like doing this humble walk with his arched back, and he's like became his mother for a second, and you know, so crazy.
Here, read it. You read it.
Okay. How do I pull up the message?
I'll read it.
Oh, here I got Amber Turd.
Goes viral after Johnny Depp testifies Amber Heard covered his bed in poop as revenge, and in the testimony he used left a grumpy in my bed.
Jesus, that means she was mad, and that's, you know.
You know what this means? This means we haven't lived. I mean, that's just living right there. Amber Heard and Johnny Depp, you know, what better way to make your point than to a cave person go run in and do that? Why not just spread it on the walls? Throw it
That's
out.
What I did. When I was a kid, I painted the walls with my Dukes. This is very, it's a very dump centric podcast. You know, I don't know why.
I don't either.
Yeah, it's very childish. We're more sophisticated. I think we're better than this. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this short break with more daddy issues.
Okay, what would you like to talk about then? That you steer it in a new direction.
Well, I'd like to talk about that it was your birthday, you know?
It was a nice birthday. I can't think of two people that I would rather spend my 53rd birthday with that would be better than you and Aaron.
Yeah, we had a blast. But then, you know, we actually, you know, you're a tight guy. You're closed off. You say a lot, but there's a lot you hold in. You know what I mean? And we had a conversation because you were a little off on the trip, just a little bit. Now, there was something just a little bit off. And I tried to have a conversation during your birthday. We were sitting at the table. Girls were doing whatever they were doing. And you're like, no, I'm just tired. But then I started pressing you a little bit. And you were getting into your age a little. You know what I mean? And you were finally sort of revealing a few things, some insecurities or some things that were bothering you. And I didn't know if you wanted to reflect on those.
Yeah, I have no problem reflecting on it. I just don't know if I was, if I just didn't feel good on the trip, or I was run down by getting up at the crack of dawn and going to play golf and playing it mildly okay, as opposed to good or feeling good about my abilities in golf, or if I was just looking for an excuse. But I felt like, man, I am at that point. The next day I was turning 53 and I have 4-year-old twins. And this is the point where people who love me and who are in my family will turn the podcast off because they're tired of me talking about this, but trying to do math and start looking ahead like, okay, well, I mean, let's do the math. When the boys are graduating high school, that's, you know, that's 14 years from now, I'll be 67. Which, doesn't sound that bad. Doesn't sound insane. I'm not 88 and but then it's like, you know, you want to be around. You want to be there for them when they're, meeting maybe the person they're going to end up spending their lives with, or, being there as long as I can be there. I worried, and you and I've talked about this in the podcast before, when my girls were little, about, you know, some freak accident or getting sick or whatever it might be. And now I'm gone at 31 or gone at 38 and I'm not there for them. And now it's all happening again. Like, well, you know, now even if I'm the healthiest guy in the world, it still gets to the point where the math is not my friend. So,
but when you dwell on the math or when you think about those things, does it actually take you to a dark, not dark, but like a low place?
It just feels like a big mountain for me to climb again. You know, I got to the top of it with the girls, got them up and out of the nest. I couldn't be more proud of who they are. And now we're trying to shape and mold these little boys that I want to do it as well again. And I want to have my energy and my patience and everything else that I don't know that I'm going to have. My patience sucks. I mean, I think the main thing that was bugging me down there are people. Like, if it's you and I going to play golf, I play golf with you all day.
Yeah, wild, I think that's what got to you. Yeah,
wild honestly. Men, wild, untethered, drunk guys bug the living shit out of me.
Who are flipping golf carts? Remember that?
Yeah, flipping golf carts.
We will not name names.
You're 55 years old. You're not 12. You're not 18. Get out of my face. I don't. And then when you're not partaking in the nuttiness, then it's like, hey, what's wrong with you? You know, then it's like, oh God, I just want to go home. I just, I'd rather just be at home, the four of us hanging out, sitting in the pool, drinking, doing whatever, and having fun, going to hit balls, going to play golf, whatever. Instead of being the I'm turning into my own little shell because the masses really drive me inward. I don't like people being out of control around me. That's I think that's always served me well because I don't like being out of control. It's happened rarely in my life, but when others are, it makes me really nervous. I can't explain that.
Maybe that was part of it. Yeah.
It makes me nervous. That's a word I didn't use, and I think it gets me anxious.
Yeah, but you know, we've been down there a bunch, but it didn't make you as anxious prior. But maybe your kids are older now. You're older now. Your babies, I mean, are older. I don't know. Maybe there's a settling in, settling down that you just want to. I don't know. I mean, don't get me wrong. We had a blast, but it was definitely, you know, we were trying to have a conversation, but it did take some needling, you know.
Yeah, I don't think about it. Huh?
Just even to get you to think about it. Like, I'm just tired. I'm like, well, no, there's something more than just tired here.
Yeah, but I really was tired, and I'm still tired.
I know.
And there's no reason for me to be tired, honestly. I mean, people are grinding away at their day jobs every day, and I don't have that. I feel like I carry around with me a lot of stress, and I have huge expectations about going to ESPN and some pressure on that to try to, you know, be a better version of myself.
Right, but those are expectations or pressures that you're putting on yourself. They're hiring you for you. I mean, they're hiring Joe Buck for the 700 years that you've been doing this. Those expectations are put on by yourself and maybe me, who want you to like reinvent yourself at ESPN.
Right, but I don't care about the look. Whether I go with some shaggy hairpiece and a zoot suit. That's one thing. It's what comes out of my head and my mouth. Like I'm trying to put together, and we can announce it now. I touched on it last week, but I met today with Jamie Horowitz, who runs Omaha Productions for Peyton Manning and Eli Manning and that whole Manning clan. And we are doing a Manning cast, a mega cast for the upcoming PGA Championship, which I want, obviously, you're going to be a part of and friends of mine, and I'm reaching out to everybody I feel like I've ever met in my life to try to get them on it. And then it's like, okay, well, now I'm going to pop up on ESPN, and the first thing I'm doing is this mega cast. And that's not really why I was hired, and this is in 3 weeks, and we're just kind of slamming it together, and it's got to be fun and loose and different, and yet I think it's still got to be good. It can't just be a complete throw shit against the wall exercise. You have to cover the golf, and you can't completely disregard that. And I know how hard golf is to do, and so there's going to be a blend coming up in that, and I'm feeling some of that pressure, and you know, whatever. That's just typical life stuff. I think it's good though.
Meaning, it's an opportunity for you know, people to see you in a totally different light. This podcast is illuminated, but not everyone listens to this thing. But if they're watching now ESPN and you do this sort of telecast or broadcast for the PGA, now you can be loose and you and tell your jokes, be funny and off the cuff. You know, like I think it's a good thing.
I think it'll surprise a lot of people who think I'm a stiff, you know, just the play-by-play guy, the guy that always, you know, gets shit for the Randy Moss thing that I said now 18 years ago. You know, I still get shit for that. And I think that shapes people over time. I can't act like they know who I am. But when I do banquets or I do auctions or I get up in front of people and they're like, oh, I didn't know you were so funny. I didn't know you're...
Right.
But, yeah, so I want to get on there and be relaxed, but it's counterintuitive when it's your first time on a network.
Yeah.
I'm going to want to be my broadcast Joe, but really I should be, and I hope to be, my podcast Joe.
Ooh, broadcast, podcast. That rhymes. That's something. There's something there.
Yeah.
Except I don't think I can say, you know,
oh, you shit your pants on ESPN. I don't think that
can
would
you
go
not
over.
Curse?
I don't know. I asked Peyton that. He said Eli and I had to apologize a couple times for, you know, a shit or a, Eli flipped the cameras off one time when somebody said something making fun of him and he just flipped the cameras off and they had to apologize for it. But I don't know that you're going to get taken off the air, but I'm not going to first day at ESPN. I'm not going to start throwing that stuff out there.
Well, I have an idea to maybe break the ice, you know. You start the ESPN coverage on this thing and you introduce it as if you are doing baseball or football. And then the first few shots you call as if you were, you know, playing baseball. You know what I mean? That could be funny to announce that as in golf, and then break character in a sense, be like, I can't do that anymore or something. Like, fuck it. You know what I mean? And then just be you.
Right. I mean, yes. I'll never forget when I was practicing when we got the U.S. Open at Fox. I went down there with Greg Norman and we did a practice round. Put it on DVD, and I brought it home, and I was watching with my girls at the time. So this was 8 years ago. So my girls were 17 and 14, and I put it on. I'm like, listen to old dad doing some golf there. And my daughter Trudy's like, yeah, this isn't any good. You sound like you're doing baseball because you have like a put on voice.
Yeah,
nobody talks like this. Hey, welcome to the ballpark.
Right.
Welcome to a great, beautiful day here in St. Louis at Busch Stadium as the Cardinals take on the Mets in the finale of a three-game series. You can't do that in golf.
Right.
You have to go, you know. Oh, yes, and welcome. You have a different
tone. But now you have a different medium where you don't have to do either of those things. You know, you're doing a Manning cast, essentially, where you can just talk with me or whoever's on there, and you're going to have the back-and-forth banter, you know.
Right.
But Jordan Spieth lines up the putt. It's back. It's good.
Bro, just have like cliche moment.
Right.
We should do 2 minutes of every cliche in golf or broadcasting that you can bring up.
Yeah.
As you can see right now, Phil Mickelson definitely playing within himself.
Right.
He's vowed that he wants to stay within himself and just go shot by shot.
Yeah.
It's just fairways and greens, folks. Fairways and greens. Never up, putt, never in. 100%
show,
of all short putts don't go in.
Yeah, you give a segment.
The woods are filled with long hitters. Yeah, I like that.
You could do a whole cliched segment.
Yeah.
You know, and if a guy has like, you know, 110 yard shot in, you're like, that's looks like it's at right field or Wrigley. You know?
110, what would you hit here, Oliver?
Right. Probably a cork bat.
I here's the thing. As we're talking about this, it's making me realize what's bothering me about it. And that is, I have no stored up bank account of goodwill at ESPN yet.
Mm-hmm.
So if I were to do this at Fox after 27 years, I would come on and be completely at ease and messing around.
Right.
Because I know everybody. I know the camera operator. I know the stage manager. I know the – doesn't matter. I know everybody around me. I know the producer. I know the director. I know all those people, and they all know who I am. And they, you know, we go to dinner together, we do whatever. So I have all that built up, yet at ESPN, it's like, okay, Mr. Moneybags coming in. Let's see if this guy's worth a shit. Worth a grumpy.
Right.
I can say grumpy on there.
You can.
Hey, folks, just know your friendly host here, about to so nervous, feel like I got a grumpy over here.
Oh, Spieth missed a short one. He grumpied the bed.
If you're enjoying this episode of Daddy Issues, don't keep it to yourself. Please share the love and tell a friend about Daddy Issues and go subscribe on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. We beg you.
Stay tuned. You don't want to miss what's coming up right after the break.
I texted Kurt, your pa, Kurt,
yeah,
about coming on. He's like, I love you. I love you. I love you. I'm going on vacation that week, and I've promised Goldie I'm not going to be interrupted, but any other time. And I said, okay, I love you back. I'm a little disappointed and surprised to know that I rank behind Goldie in your life, considering that I just babysat Goldie's oldest child for the last week in Cabo, and I got the three faces with the like laughing tears coming down.
Yeah, oh, that's good. Yeah, he's not going to be in town. It's not a lie. It's the truth.
It's quite all right.
He'd do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah,
it'd be fun, dude. How long do you have? Like, how long is the
4 hours broadcast? A day? 16 hours.
Oh, wow.
And the cool thing is, and we're going way down in the weeds on this, but
I know.
I don't know that this is interesting to anybody else, but the cool thing is the first hour of it will be on main ESPN. Then it goes to ESPN2. So as opposed to Peyton and Eli doing Monday Night Football, which all resided one channel up on ESPN2, their actual golf coverage on ESPN of the PGA Championship starts with an hour with me. And then it goes into Scott Van Pelt and their normal crew. So that adds another element. Like, okay, this isn't exactly a towel-snapping good time.
Yeah,
this is like you got to kind of cover golf. And let's say Tiger's playing. You know, what are you going to be disrespectful to what's going on?
Yeah.
Or, you know, somebody's running away with the first day or second day and they're 7 under par at a major championship and you're slapping it around with people. It would annoy people. Like, you don't want to annoy.
No. Who's your partner?
That's being worked out. I am definitely going to bring my guy, David Moulton, who sat next to me during golf and gave me all my info, and he's a talented radio guy. And I'm like, I want you to dress as you would typically dress in the booth, which means like golf shirt, khakis.
Yeah.
He's, let's say, a bigger boned guy, which he laughs about all the time, and he's just kind of a savant of information with information that I tapped into all the time off the air, but now I'm just going to do it on the air. And any question I have that I would typically be embarrassed that I didn't know the answer to, I'm just going to ask him out loud, and he can go find it or whatever. But, you know,
are you going to be at the venue?
No, I'm going to be in a studio here in St. Louis. I could have done it from my house, but I was scared. Yeah. I was scared of the boys like coming down and Dad.
Yeah.
Hold on a second, everybody. I'll be right back. Because Michelle's going to a wedding that weekend with her mom, so I'm going to be here by myself juggling that. Like, I just need to get out of here.
Yeah, smart.
Yeah.
But are you going to have like a co-host, meaning like someone who's there next to you like you do in golf typically, even just for the first hour? Or are you just solo-mish?
I think the first hour will probably tap into Scott Van Pelt some because I'll be eventually leading into him. And he's the one that's done a lot of the research and whatever. But yeah, I think there's somebody that I have in mind that I want to see if ESPN will let me use. And no, it's not Artie Lang. To see if we can make that happen, because I think I don't want to sit there by myself and feel like I've got to carry the whole thing. That's just feels like you're scrambling the entire time.
Yeah. And do you think you need someone with like golf experience and knowledge to be sitting next to you?
Yeah, but like I think they should like lean more. No, I think they should be more fun and funny and no golf, but not be straight-laced.
Right.
Like, some of you are not going to see on Golf Channel doing a swing breakdown segment.
Right.
Which you should be doing after our time in Cabo. You should be doing a swing breakdown segment.
I will. It's a good segment, just like from an amateur, you know, someone who's never taught golf. But, you know, let me look at your swing. I can help you. Like, are you PGA certified? Like, absolutely not. But just, I'm going to help you.
This podcast.
Right.
We're not clinical psychologists. We're not psychiatrists. We can't prescribe medicine. But what we can give you is our roadmap to good parenting, good husbandry, good brotherly activity. And then you can use that roadmap or ball it up and set it on fire.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Maybe that'll be my next, maybe that'll be an unscripted show that I do, you know, where I just teach people golf, but don't really know what I'm doing.
Should aim higher. I think you should just give people life. You should be a life coach, an unlicensed life coach.
I don't think life coaches are licensed anyway.
Well, I'm sure some of them have dabbled in.
I mean, I feel like if you're a life coach, you didn't go through school. You didn't get your PhD in psychology or psychiatry or go to medical school, you know?
Right.
Like, you're just like, fuck it. Like, I don't want to do all that. Hey, you know what? I'm a life coach.
Who's that?
You know, I'm a life coach.
And by no means are we denigrating all the life coaches that are listening to us right now in Iraq or Iran.
Not at all, by the way. You know, I know a couple people who are life coaches who are just, it's street smarts. It's what it is. It's like, I've been through this shit. I've come out of this shit. I know how to help you. And yeah, I'm not licensed, but I have some good insight. So
let me get a fresh set of eyes on this for you. Let me give you your life from my perspective. And here's where you're failing and you need to cut out this clutter.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what I try to do for you. And I feel like you try to do for me. We are each other's best life coach.
Mm-hmm. We should pay each other like the same amount.
That would be smart. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like per hour. And then at the end.
There's got to be some tax benefit to that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. This is like unrealized income.
Yeah. Right. I don't know what it is, but it feels like we just found a loophole in the system somehow.
Well, yesterday was the boy's birthday.
Yep.
And 4 years old times two.
Crazy.
And we got him those little cars, you know, like that are motorized that they can get in. They're roofless cars, but they're electric and they go around the driveway and whatever.
Yeah.
Those things are way faster than they used to be.
Yeah.
One of them is not going to do. They're both actually kind of good drivers. They blew me away that they got the whole premise of stepping on the gas and being able to navigate, not slamming into the garage. But when they're not really paying attention and they're coming up behind you, Blake took my legs out from behind me. And I felt like I got hit by Ray Lewis.
Wow.
Did you go down? Buckled over? Hell yeah, I went down.
Oh my God.
I was like, okay, Achilles heel gone.
I feel like your kids are always like either trying to hurt you or say,
you're getting your wiener bit off,
you're getting run over. I mean,
it's always the same one. It's Blake. Everybody thinks he's such a little sweetheart, but it's always Blake that's taken me out.
Wow.
He weighs 52 pounds of just heavy mass. And I pick him up.
He's huge.
He's a foot taller than his brother now. It looks ridiculous. And yesterday we were at Target. We're walking around and this woman's like, oh, are they twins? And we're like, yeah, they're twins. And this woman, you know, there was something a little bit off about her.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe she's a listener to the podcast. I don't think so. And she's like, "Boy, they don't look at all alike. You're not gonna mix them up." And then she goes, "You mean this little one?" No, I said. She said, "Who? Which one came out first?" And I said, "This one." And she goes, "Oh, the little one." And it was Wyatt. And then she moseys on with her cart, and Wyatt's like, "I'm not little," you know, saying that to me.
No.
And then Blake's like, yeah, but I mean, I'm bigger than you.
Yeah.
So this rando person walking by started
it's just complexed them. Wyatt.
Yeah. I'm not little. It's like, buddy, next to your brother, everybody's little.
Yeah.
Comparatively. So it's always Blake. He's taking me out.
Yeah. The boys, do either of the boys have an attachment to you or Michelle? Like one has more of an attachment to you and one has more of an attachment to Michelle, or
yeah,
is it
Blake.
Pretty equal?
Blake has more of an, all jokes aside, he is like my little snuggler, which I joke with him. You know, they're huge into superheroes, Batman, Spider-Man for sure, all that. They can name all the villains. And I'm like, you know, Blakey, if you were a villain, you know what your name would be? I mean, there's the Joker, there's the Riddler, there's the Penguin, you're the snuggler. And he's like, I'm not a villain. I know, okay. If you're a superhero, name the snuggler. And then Wyatt, so they got a karaoke machine and a stage for their birthday. And we had people over the day we left. Cabo, left you, come home. We had friends over from St. Louis, and it was great. It was a great night, and we were tired, I was so happy to see everybody. It was really fun. And then the boys, the karaoke machine gets cranked up, the microphones, and they entertain the crowd like two long-lost Von Trapp boys singing all the songs that I sang on Masked Singer. So they do every word of I Want You to Want Me, every word of Take Me Home, Country Road, and every word of Learn to Fly by Foo Fighters. And they sang it over and over and over and over and over. It's like, oh my God, stop. But Wyatt is like pointing at people and doing all the pantomiming that I was doing and had his hand out. And I'm like, I don't know. Little Disney kid waiting to happen. I'm going to have to get him in. Maybe Kurt can mold him into a Disney kid.
I think Wyatt more of the performer?
Yeah. But Blake's starting to come out of his shell, which makes me happy because he kind of lives in that shadow of his brother with regard to kind of the entertaining side.
Right, but he's bigger, so we could squash him.
Right. Exactly.
I have a feeling
that's how it was with you and Kate. I feel like when you two were little, Kate was probably, look at me, I'm going to do my thing, I'm going to sing, I'm going to dance, I'm going to do cartwheels, I'm going to do whatever. And you were over there going, you know, anybody got a light? Yeah.
Right, I was. Totally. I'm like, I just took one of our parents' Vantage cigarettes. Does anyone have any matches?
He That's just took the to Monte smoke. Carlo out for a spin at 6 years old. going to Sunset Boulevard. Yeah.
It is true. It is true. I mean, you know, and it bugged the shit out of me. You know, it just bothered me.
That she was so in everybody's face or wanting to perform?
Yeah, just a performer. And it was always like, look at this and look at me and here I am. And I was just like, just chill. You know? Just chill out.
Yeah.
And then I got, you know, a tripper and pusher and
Yeah, that's what brothers do.
And then the roles reversed, you know, then everyone started loving me and she's like, why does everyone love you? I'm like, what do you mean? Because I'm great.
Right. You're not in everybody's face saying, look at me. You make them want to look at you.
That's right. That was my move, like, as a single man, by the way. I all my life, and it's funny, just looking at Wilder now, who's 14 and in eighth grade and going through the whole girl situation. And, you know, you get to know who your kid is and who their friends are pretty quickly when it comes to girls. Some are extremely outgoing and unafraid. And then others are super shy and just keep to themselves. And Wilder is that super shy, keep to himself kid. And it was just like me. I never talked to girls. Girls scared the shit out of me when I was 14. And they still did, even when I was in my 20s. Even when I was going out to clubs and stuff, I would never approach a woman. I would never walk up and be like, hi, like, how are you? My name's Oliver. Like, I didn't even know what to say. And I just sat back because I was too petrified. So scared.
Well, then it makes me right now want to do something that will be funny to you and you only. But we have an avid listener out there who we spent some time with in Cabo. Mm-hmm. Shout out to John Bentz, who is not afraid to walk up to anybody and start talking, and he will tell you that his nickname when he goes to clubs is Candy Rapper, because his rap's so sweet.
Oh, right. That's right.
Candy package or something? Candy packaging? Because his rap's so sweet.
No, Candy Rapper. Candy Rapper. That's right. Because his rap is so sweet. Yeah.
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 So there it is.
JB. John Bentz gets a shout out on the show.
Now we're going to really see if John Bentz listens to this podcast.
Well, he better shoot you a text. Did you guys make up?
Yeah. It's just, look, John, I'm going to come clean on my own podcast here with Oliver. Yeah. You know, in the mornings at 7 o'clock when I can't hit the ball in the air and I'm struggling and stressing because we're about to walk over to the first tee and I have all these expectations for myself and you're over there to stand behind me and just give me shit about my outfit, my shoes, my club head covers, my bag, my irons, my golf balls, my tees, whatever, by, you know, whatever it is that I have going on around me. I can't. So I'm like, nope, John, keep walking. Walk. I don't want to hear it. Just go. And I know it hurts your feelings, John, and I'm sorry from the bottom of my heart because you're a sweet guy, so sweet that your nickname is Candy Wrapper or whatever it
That's
is.
That's right. No, I know. I was there when that, and I love John, and I get it, though. I get what you're saying, but I don't know. It hurt me. It hurt me, too.
And then you go back and you're
like, John,
feelings?
Good luck or whatever, and he's like, it's like, oh, now you're going to talk to me.
Right, yeah. I mean, I just spent 30 minutes. I got no better on the range before we tee off, but I have nothing else to do now except get in my cart, go to the first tee, and hit one into the desert, and, you know, I'm going to wish you luck. I'm ready to talk.
It's timing. I get it. It's like you said, it's 7:30 in the morning, and the last thing you want to do is hear about what problems you might have.
Well, I've got one friend of mine, and it hasn't happened in a while, but there was a 10-year period where no matter what, this person called me always at the worst time.
Yeah.
And my mom does the same thing. And that's why there was an ad 3 or 4 years ago of a guy who's like, it's like a James Bond character, and he's hanging off a helicopter, and his mom calls him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, Mom, I can't write. Are you okay, honey?
Yeah.
I can't write now. Just, you know, I'm busy, as he's hanging off a helicopter lifting off the top of a skyscraper. And that's, I was like, Mom, that's us right there. That's it doesn't matter what I am doing. I could be doing nothing for 4 hours and then like the sprinklers, you know, break and my lawn is flooding and the fire department's coming and my mom calls like, hey, how's your day going? It's like, I can't do it. And it's not her fault. She doesn't know that's going on.
Of course not. She just feels it. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this short break with more Daddy Issues. Hey, can you do an impression of your mom or no? Too hard.
Yeah, that's hard. Because
your dad one is amazing, of course, but I mean, you know.
Get up, Buck. Get your ass out of bed. Yeah, that's, I mean, he had so many great lines, which I gave one during the.
Things turn out best for those who make the best of the way things turn out.
Yeah.
And my mom
couldn't agree with that more.
Yeah. My mom is like the old Hollywood ladies, like Norma Desmond these days, which I don't even remember the movie, but I know the character where it's like, you're ready for your close-up? It's just like the old star, the faded
Sunset
star.
Sunset Boulevard, right.
Yeah, the faded star. Like she's, what's the line that she says in it too? She's like,
are you ready for your close-up?
My career didn't get smaller, the roles did, or you know, whatever,
right?
It is. And it's
right,
so she's always, you know, well, that's not the way I did it. Or if I say anything, it's like, you know, if the boys are acting up and she chimes in, I cannot stand that. Like, if she tries to help,
she tries to parent,
she tries to parent, but to four-year-olds, and mm-hmm. it's like, why, you need a nap. And I'm like, Mom, come on. He took a nap. We got it. We're about to eat dinner. And then he's going to go to bed. Well, he needs a nap. Mom.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's if I say anything, it's like, well, you turned out okay. I'd say I did a pretty good, damn good job with you. And that's what I get. And there's just no arguing with that.
Right.
Like, yeah, I think you did do it. You did a nice job, Mom. But that's over. I'm 50 fucking 3 years old.
Right. And I'm on antidepressants.
I'm on antidepressants. I mean... So something went wrong. And you know, I went to a fat camp when I was 11. Those scars haven't healed. So, you know, there were a couple of hiccups in there, Mom. It wasn't all smooth sailing.
You did pretty good. But,
you did pretty good. You did well. I haven't, you know, intentionally hurt anybody. I feel like I'm a nice person. I've tried to help anybody that comes into my path realistically mm-hmm. that I can and doing my best. But right now, don't tell me that Wyatt needs a nap because you just showed up and you haven't been here for the past 10 hours.
Yeah. Oh, God. I know. I know that so well. I know. Like, they need more sleep. And and they're eating too much sugar. I'm like, hey, you know what? Like, it's all good. Like, you might be right, but I'm not going to do anything about it. So,
duly
let's
noted.
Stop talking about it.
I don't even know what duly noted means, but it's duly noted.
I don't even
noted.
Either. What is duly? Like, I noted it twice?
I guess. Like, it should be like dutifully noted.
Duly noted. Like you're saying it, and I agree. Like, you noted it, and I will
and I'll write it
the
down.
Note.
Whether
right,
literally or figuratively, I got it. Okay, duly noted.
What about duly noted? What about Hooli noted?
Hooli noted is if for anybody that is friends with Juliana that when she makes a point, you're like Hooli noted.
Hooli noted. I bet you no one has done that to her, and that would be an incredible joke if you ever when
great.
You see her again. That's a good
one. Yeah. Oh, I hear. Okay. Hooli noted.
Hooli noted.
Yeah. No celebrity drop in this week. I'm sorry. I need to apologize to everybody. I'm now reaching out to everybody trying to book. This is what happened when I had a show on HBO. You think, they're going to have the magic Rolodex and whoever you want to have on it. Here they come. It's HBO.
Yeah.
Nope. I had to book the thing myself.
Well, it's a break. We need a break. We just got back from Mexico. You know, it's fine. People like listening to us, Joe. We are our own Poppins.
That's right.
Right. But I do want to do a segment called Mary Poppins, where it's just all guests named Mary.
Now you're stealing Josh Windisch's material, and that he's going to get mad. Pop on, Josh. Pop in.
That was mine, and then Windisch elaborated on it.
Yeah, that was I elaborated. Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't reading it very carefully, but duly noted.
Duly noted.
Yeah.
Yes.
Duly noted. So Josh today texted the group, and the group consists of myself, Joe Buck, Margot, and wanted to know whether to unbutton one button or two buttons of his Henley.
I specifically said in the text I wanted to work this out before the call.
Do you? How do you think he's done? Because he's gone two. Is it two?
He's gone one. I think one.
I got one. But see,
I think
if I got one,
little,
need
to
go.
No, you got two.
No, now I have
now
two.
I'm talking about undone. So now you got two undone.
See, but from one
with
to
a chest
two
like that,
is,
why would you ever hide it?
From one to two is extreme. Like one button unbuttoned is not that much. Once you undo the two, you've just created a different persona.
It's exactly.
Yeah. I like the two.
I like the two.
That's my
having
more
two
my
undone.
Vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
You got no hair in your chest, do you?
Now, well, it depends. I shave my chest.
You do?
Yeah,
what?
I do.
Why?
I don't like, because I don't like, I'm too hairy. Like, I just have too much. It's just too much. There's like a level and it's just too much. And I
do
have
you have
to,
back hair?
I have upper back hair, which I also try to keep.
You try to get to that with a razor?
I do, yeah. I don't, but then I like miss spots and
What do you shave your chest with? A razor?
I have like an electric, body
like
hair.
Like a Manscaped thing?
Kinda.
Hashtag
do you
former,
have hair?
Former client.
Former client. RIP. Rest in power. Josh, do you have hairy nipples?
I mean, yeah, I guess that's part of it. Yeah, yeah.
Do you shave your nipples?
Very carefully, yeah.
So you've got those long hairs sometimes that grow out of your nipple. You're like, whoa, I've got a 6-inch hair coming out of my nipple.
They don't get that long, but I mean, there's just it's just the,
right.
You know, the coverage of hair just seems like, oh, man.
You don't seem like you're that hairy. What about your pubic region?
God damn it. I knew it was going there. Yeah, I mean, that's a problem too, you know?
Do you trim it up? I mean, do you manscape it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you
but,
do.
I, but, you, but here's the problem. I can't do it too much because, like, if I keep up with it like I'd like
you're living
to.
Living in stubble.
Then, yeah, there's stubble or it's just, then I have like razor burn all the time.
So you use a bit like a straight razor on your, like, do you shave the lower shaft?
What do you do?
Like Josh and Oliver's like Amber Heard and Johnny Depp. I object. You cannot ask my client right now if he shaves below the shaft. Duly noted.
Duly noted.
I don't know.
We learned things about you, and it's great. And then your butthole, I'm sure, is like super hairy.
Yeah, that's something I just left that alone. That's
right?
Tricky. That's
just
tricky.
The way God made you.
Right. I don't really.
Dingleberry Windish.
It's not like anybody's seeing that part of my anatomy anyway.
Well,
yeah.
Not that sure close. Not that in. You know, like that's
off limits.
Yeah, yeah.
Even for your wife, she's like, "Hey, she's JW, pin those knees behind the ears. It's time." She's like, "No."
Yeah, no. Neither one of us are really into that.
Vanessa. All right, I gotta go. I love you both.
I gotta go.
This conversation has devolved.
I know.
Absolutely.
I know. I
garbage,
go too.
But it has.
All right. Well, Joe, it's been great. I miss you already. We've only been gone each other from a day and a half now, but I think we're seeing more and more of each other.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I feel good about that. Next time I'm in LA, I'll look you up.
Hey, man. Yeah. Just get my number. Shoot me a text.
All right. Hey, are you the guy from the gym?
Yeah, the jungle gym. Listen to Daddy Issues on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Daddy Issues is a production of Cavalry Audio and iHeartMedia, produced by Margot Carmichael.
Sound engineering and editing by Josh Windisch.
Executive produced by Joe Bach, Oliver Hudson, Dana Brunetti, and Keegan Rosenberger.